Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Come on, give it up for our boys and girls from the Ignite Youth. Wow. Well, I just want to tell you, in case you don't know, every Friday we have this environment that we created especially for the high schoolers in this place. And, you know, growing up, I remember when I was a teenager, it was tough. But let me tell you, growing up as a teenager, in this day and age, it's a lot tougher with all the pressure and everything else. So if you have a high schooler in your family and they're not exposed to a positive peer pressure environment such as Ignite Youth, you would want to bring your high schooler every Friday here at this place at 6 o'clock or 6:30? What time is it? 6:30, yes. You would want to bring them there, all right? I highly, highly recommend it. Last Friday, they have 65 high schoolers coming here and enjoy fellowship with one another. And they also, meet in small groups as well. And, you know, your child will be given a small group leader who will encourage them, pray for them, and all that. So you don't want to miss Ignite for your high schooler every Friday at this place. All right. Hey, today we're starting a brand new series, Ghost Stories. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, or as the old King James Bible would say, the Holy Ghost. That's why we call it Ghost Stories. And if you are new to Christianity, if you're new to church, don't worry. I'm going to explain to you who the Holy Spirit is and why you need Him in your life. My purpose in this series is so that not only we get to know the Holy Spirit a little bit better, but my purpose, our purpose, is so that we get to experience Him and His power every day in our life. And that's possible for every one of you. Isn't that good? So that's one of my purpose. And the other purpose is, I think there's just so much confusion surrounding this issue of the Holy Spirit in churches today. Some churches just flat out don't talk about it. Right? We don't want to get weird, and they don't even talk about the Holy Spirit as if He doesn't exist in their life. And other churches go to the other extreme, and they abuse the Holy Spirit. Basically, there's a lot of excesses, and that's why a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And I often find also people, Christians, who claim that they are filled with the Spirit, that they have the gift of the Spirit, that tend to be the most arrogant. And let me tell you, if that's you, that's not the Holy Spirit. By the way, if over the coming weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit, can you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, and so on. So we're going to be talking about that. But by way of introduction, let me just say right from the outset, right from the beginning, the Holy Spirit produces humility in you. So if you think you are filled with the Spirit and have all this gift and you are arrogant, that's not the Holy Spirit, all right? The Holy Spirit creates unity in the church, not division. That's why from this platform, you will never hear me talk about anything that divides us. Instead, we're going to talk about everything that unites us, all right? I'm not going to say that if you don't have this gift or that gift, that means you're not filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to say unless you worship or express your love to God in a certain way, that means you're not filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to say that because that's not true, okay? So you want to keep coming back over the next few weeks and find out what the Bible really say about this very, very important doctrine of the Holy Spirit, all right? We're going to start by talking about who He is, because you can't talk about the Holy Spirit without knowing really well who He is, right? So who is the Holy Spirit? And you can't really talk about the Holy Spirit unless you talk about Jesus. And you can't really talk about Jesus unless you talk about God, our Heavenly Father, as well. Because Christian faith is based on Judaism, so that's why we have to go back all the way to the Old Testament and find out who is God really. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, Moses, who wrote this, Moses said this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is how many? One. Now, this may not sound very exciting to you, but let me tell you, in the society where everyone believes in multiple gods. There's a God of fertility, there's a God of finance, there's a God of health, there's a God of everything. And here, the one true God of this universe reveal himself to Israel as the only one God? It's a bold claim, unless it is true, right? Unless it is true. In another passage, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 60, it says this, "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other." Again, a very bold claim, unless it is true, okay? And that's up to you. For those of you who are not Christian, it's up to you to explore and find out if that is a true claim or not, right? And then Jesus came about 2,000 years ago, and he said, this God that you have heard before, talking to the people of Israel, he wants to be addressed as a father. So in one of his teaching on prayer, Jesus said this, when you pray, you should pray this way. Can we go to the next slide, please? Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. That's how you should address this Almighty God. He is not just an aloof God. He's not just a God who is out there. He's not just an extraterrestrial being. He is our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus made this bold claim that He, the Father, and Him are one. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. In other words, He claimed Himself to be God. Through His teaching, through His miracles, through His actions, Jesus claimed to be the God Himself. Listen to the complaints of the religious leaders. One time, Jesus was brought a paraplegic man, and instead of just healing his body, Jesus also forgave his sin. And this caused the religious leaders to be really, really upset. In Mark chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says this, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, after hearing Jesus forgiving this man's sin, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming," and they were absolutely right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were absolutely right to be furious because Jesus claimed to be not just a prophet, not just a good teacher. He was God in the flesh because He claimed to be able to forgive sins. So we have this confusion going on. We were told there's only one God, and then the Father is God, and then Jesus claimed to be God. And if that's not complicated enough, if you open the pages of your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will find more than 800 times this phrase, the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit, being mentioned. As early as in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, in the second verse, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and," that's the word, "the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." More than 800 times this phrase, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, appears in our Bible. So what's going on? If I can show you in the chart, it seems like the Bible makes this claim that the Father is God, the Son is also God, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also God. Does that mean we believe in three gods? Apparently not, because it was very clear from as early as the book of Deuteronomy, the God that we worship is the only one true God. In other words, this God apparently exists as three different persons, if you like. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they're all distinct from one another, but at the same time, they are God. They form this one Godhead. So the Father is not the Son, really, because they're distinct. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, but the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. That's why church fathers back in the days, in the early first few centuries, decided that, hey, this is the teaching of the Bible. We can't make sense of it. Let's call it something. They coined the term Trinity because we believe not in three gods, but in three persons within the same Godhead. That's why we call it Trinity, tri-unity, if you like. Now, I know it seems kind of weird maybe to some of you who are not used to this. To us Christians, it's like it's hard for us to understand. But just because it's hard to understand, it doesn't mean it's not real. You have to understand that. How many of you understand electricity? Raise your hand. How it works and everything. Okay. A lot of you are users of electricity. I don't understand about electricity, but I appreciate its power. I appreciate, you know, my house has electricity running through it, you know, all over the place so that I can use my toaster, I can turn on the lights, I can turn on the heater if it's cold and so on. You know, I enjoy electricity, but, you know, I don't really know how it works. Just because you don't know how something works doesn't mean it's not real, all right? Trinity is a very hard concept to understand, but we have, you know, some kind of parallel in our world. For example, I'm only one. I'm Daniel Indrajaya. There's only one of me, thank God. But I am also a father. I'm also a pastor. And I'm also a husband, you see? There's only one sun, but there's the planet, the sun. There's the heat that comes out of it. And there's the light that comes from it as well. So, you know, a cube, you have one cube with length, breadth, and width. They all form one cube. So we have similar parallel in our world, even though they're not really perfect illustrations in themselves. So that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is actually God himself, all right? So who is the Holy Spirit? We don't know much at this point. And then Jesus revealed to us more and more who this Holy Spirit is and how he is very, very important in your life and in my life as well. Before Jesus was crucified, he was about to leave his disciples, his followers. And then Jesus knew, being Jesus, that the disciples might be worried, you know, after spending 3.5 years together, that the leaving of Jesus might leave them worried and anxious and all that. So Jesus wanted to reassure them so that they will not be worried with his leaving. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he gave his reason why he had to go. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" So Jesus said, "Hey, don't worry, guys. I'm going for a period of time to prepare a place for you." If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, you know, there's nothing more reassuring than knowing where you go after you die. You know, someday we're all gonna die. And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." You know, when you go on a tour, right? Let's say you want to go to United States of America, or you want to go to Europe, and you want to take a tour. You don't want to, you know, be guided by a tour guide who's never been to the place, right? You want someone who's been there before, because otherwise, like, why would you need a tour guide? Now, Jesus came from heaven, and he's going there to prepare a place for us. So that's really fantastic. Maybe the disciples were thinking, that's all fine and good, but that's not going to happen until I die. You know, you're preparing a place for me, but what about now? You know, you're going to leave us now. What is going to happen to us? And then Jesus, in verse 16 and 17, reassured them again, "Hey, I'm not going to leave you orphaned." He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And this advocate is the Spirit of Truth." Now, I want you to pay attention to that word, another, all right? In the Greek, now I know you are a smart bunch. In the Greek, there are two words for another. One is heteros. That means it's another of a different kind. That's heteros, from which we get the word, for example, heterosexual, right? It's another of a different kind. The second Greek word for another is allos. Allos is another of the same kind. And the word that Jesus used here is allos. I'm going to send you a comforter of the same kind I am. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's no different than I am. He is of the same kind. He is the Spirit of Truth. That's why the Holy Spirit is not just a power. He is a person. It's not an it. It is a he. You know, it's a spirit. There's no gender, obviously, but we have to pick a gender. But it's definitely not an it. It is a person. That's what Jesus is saying. And then he continues. He says, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he lives with you." And this is what's even better. "He will be in you." He will be in you. That's amazing. You know what that means? That means the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you so that you can talk to him, so that you can hear him, so that you can use the power that he has within you. That's the reason. Which brings me to this question. Then if you look around you, why there are so many Christians out there who live a flat, lifeless, spiritless life? Why? If they have this power living inside them, If they have this amazing person living inside them, you know, as you look around you, you will find people who claim to be Christians who live just like everybody else. They're bound by the same sin as everybody else. They have a flat prayer life. They are gripped by worries, anxieties like everybody else. They have the same dream and desire as everybody else, which mostly the life of comfort. That's their dream and desire. The question is, why? Is this really the will of our Heavenly Father to live this kind of life? Obviously not. So the question is, why are there so many Christians living this way? I think the answer is very simple. The answer is a lot of Christians are not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. A lot of Christians are not aware that they have this power living inside of them. That's why a lot of them are frustrated, saying like, oh, Christianity is so difficult. Christian life is impossible. It's true, because you are not using the available power within you. You're not even aware it exists. Like, you know, when I was young, I love to listen to music. I love to listen to, you know, a good sound. And when I was able to earn some money, I bought this like mini compo system, a Sony, and I thought it sounded great. Until I met a friend of mine who's an audiophile. He said, you know, if you upgrade your amplifier, if you upgrade your speakers, and if you do this and that, change the cables, you know, it'll sound a lot better. And I started slowly, you know, getting into this hobby. And then, oh, wow, I never knew that kind of sound can exist. You see? See, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't know. A lot of Christians don't even know that a different kind of life is possible, because they don't know that they have this power, this person who has been given by God Himself to help us along. I want to go back to that verse again. Listen to what Jesus said. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Another advocate. In the Greek, and we're going to do a lot of Greek this morning, all right? In the Greek, the word advocate is the word parakletos. Everybody say parakletos. It's the word parakletos. You see the pi there and the rho. The parakletos, it comes from two Greek words. Para means alongside. That's how we get the word parallel, right? Alongside. And then kletos means called out, someone who's called. So literally, right, a parakletos is someone called to be alongside someone as a guide, as an assistant, a helper, a comforter, or a counselor. That's why in many different English translations, you will see these different words being used: a guide, a helper, a comforter, a counselor, and so on, right? Because that's who He is. He's someone who has been sent by God Himself to help us in this world so that you don't have to journey alone. The Holy Spirit is our guide. That's first and foremost. He's someone who's walking alongside us to help us. How many of you remember when GPS first came out? This is before your smartphones, smart devices, yeah? I remember a Garmin or TomTom, yeah? I used to resist using a GPS because I thought, Perth is so small. Why do you need a GPS? As long as you know Queen Anne Freeway, Leech Highway, Roe Highway, Tonkin Highway, that's it. You're done, right? No worries. Only girls need GPS. We men, we don't need direction, right, men? Oh. But the real reason why I didn't get a GPS is because I'm a cheap Asian. You know, it was expensive. Like, but then I started using it, and I wonder how I live without it. Because you simply punch your destination, and the GPS will lead you there. And what's amazing about GPS is when you make a wrong turn, it's so nice to you. It doesn't yell at you like your wife does, right? I'm not talking about my wife, I'm talking about your wife. It simply says rerouting or recalculating. That's all it says, right? You know, it's so nice. I almost want to say, oh, sorry, thank you so much. I will not do it again. You know what the GPS really saying is really saying to us? The GPS is really saying this, you know. Oh, I know you made a wrong turn. It's okay. It's okay. I will still get you there. I will still get you there. Don't worry about it. Some of you here, you have made some wrong turns in your life. And I believe this is the reason why you're here this morning. The Holy Spirit is not here to yell at you, to condemn you. But the Holy Spirit is your guide. If you are here this morning and you believe you've made some wrong turns in your life, the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you this morning right now as I speak, All right? He's trying to tell you, hey, I know you made some wrong turns in your life. Everybody does. I'm here to help you. Don't worry. I will still get you to your destination. It's going to take a little bit longer, but I'll take you there. I will take you there. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is also our helper. He's our helper. He's our assistant, you know. He is sent by Jesus to help us in this journey that we call life. Again, you know, GPS is so old-fashioned. Nowadays, you have a helper in your pocket, you know, your mobile device. You, at home, you may have Google Assistant or Alexa, and I don't know how I live without Siri. You know, I use Siri all the time. I don't know if you're using it. Maybe you're using mobile phone. You don't even know it exists. Let me give you some examples, all right? This is like what I do every day, okay? So let me see if you can hear it. I'm not going to say, hey, Siri, because otherwise it's going to set off all your system. So instead, I'm just going to press this, okay? So you can do this with your mobile device. Set an appointment.
Here's what I found.
Okay. Set a meeting with John Atkinson for Wednesday, 9 a.m. I don't see John in your contact. What are you talking about, Siri? You're not helping me with my illustration. Okay? All right, it just created the calendar for me now. Okay. Okay, how about this? What is 29 times 13?
The answer is 377.
How old is Julia Gillard? Now you know, right? One time, I asked Siri to call my wife because you can set relationship in your contact. So one time, I asked Siri to call my wife, and Siri responded by saying, which wife? And I didn't know I have more than one. So I said to Siri, the young one. You know? No, I didn't say that. What I found out was... We went to Bali and we bought a local SIM card. So I put a new address in my address book for Hulda with that new number. So Siri was asking which of these two contacts to call, basically. That's what it is. So I think the Holy Spirit is kind of like Siri. It's kind of like Alexa. It's kind of like, hey, Google, you know? He is our helper. And he's more than just a Siri, he's more than just a Google, because Alexa or Siri cannot help you with your presentation on Monday when you feel nervous about it, right? But the Holy Spirit, that's why we need the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives, not just when we sing at church, not just when we listen to our sermon, not just when we read our Bible, but when you have to have that difficult conversation with your teenager, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. When you have to make that difficult business decision, whether to take on a new business or whether to give up a business, the Holy Spirit is there to help you, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. And not only that, he's also our counselor. He's there to guide us. Can you imagine having a personal lawyer walking by your side? Can you imagine having a personal psychologist, psychiatrist by your side? That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's there to guide us to make the right decision, you know. And sometimes we don't even know that we are onto something that is dangerous for us or something that is not good, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do just that. Let me give you an example. In our church, we plan our sermon series way, way ahead, all right? In fact, 1 year ahead, we already prayed about it. We had a few meetings about it. And then we plan our sermon series for the following year. So last February, we were meant to do a series on relationship. But somehow, as I was praying, as the date came closer, February came closer, I just didn't feel that it was the right series for where our church is at the time. So at the last minute, we decided to change the series from a relationship series to the comparison series. And let me tell you, in the 2.5 years we've been here in this building, I have never heard so many good feedback than that series, The Comparison Trap, how it speaks to a lot of people. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It prompts you, it tells you where you're going, and it redirects you if necessary, because He is there to guide us, to counsel us in our decision-making and so on. Isn't it wonderful to have this person by our side? Listen to John chapter 14. Verses 16 to 17. I will ask the Father, He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. That means He will lead you to truth. Even as I was speaking right now, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying things in your head. Sometimes maybe I don't even say those words, but the Holy Spirit somehow used what I say or what I don't say to say something, make it personal to you. And that's why at the end of this gathering, you know, gathering like this, a lot of people sometimes come to me and say, wow, what you just said just then was the word specifically for me. Actually, I didn't mean to say those words. Maybe even you heard it differently than what I meant, you know, what I meant to say. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, He will guide you to Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, you know, the Holy Spirit's job is to confirm in you that you need a Savior in your life. That you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, but there is a Savior called Jesus Christ, whom God has sent to deal with our sin problem. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reassure you that you need Him, that He's real, and then you need to respond accordingly when the Holy Spirit is prompting you that way, right? Because He is your counselor, He will guide you into all truth. The question is, maybe you're asking, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit that prompts us, guides us, or it's our own desire? It's very simple. If you feel the nudge to do something that is right, it is most likely the Holy Spirit, all right? If you have the nudge to stop doing things that are wrong, it is most likely the Holy Spirit, because we are sinful human beings. You know, we tend to do wrong all the time. If you feel the nudge, you have a still small voice that asks you to be generous, for example, it is most likely the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because we human beings are generally selfish. You know, we don't on our own do kind things or do nice things to people, because we are sinful that way. So when you hear this nudge from the Holy Spirit, it is most likely Him. You know, for example, let's say you are walking along the road someday, somewhere, and you have this thought, I need to call this person. You don't know why. You never thought about that person like the last 5 years, and all of a sudden the thought just came into your mind, I need to call this guy. So at that point, if that happens to you, just pick up the phone and call. And ask, hey, you know, I haven't called you in a while, but I don't know why. I just have this inkling. I just have this strange, you know, thought to call you. Are you doing okay? Maybe you will hear from the other side, man, I'm glad you call. I'm in so much trouble. I need to talk to someone. And then, boom, before you know it, wow, I didn't know that was that, you know? So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides you to making decisions that you will not make on your own otherwise. So for example, right now, if you have an inkling to give Pastor Daniel $5,000, it is definitely the Holy Spirit. Just don't fight it. Don't fight it. Just do it. Okay? Just do it. Just kidding. Finally, number four, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is there to comfort us. How many of you know that life here in this world is not easy? How many of you know that life can be so full of heartaches and pain and disappointment and so on? You know, we need a comforter in our life. Not just someone who can, you know, say nice things to us, but someone who really can give peace in our heart that passes understanding. Someone that can really speak deep into our soul, into our very being, that is going to be okay. We need a comforter. Ernest Hemingway, one of the most brilliant, famous authors out there. At one point, Ernest Hemingway was asked a question, can you write a compelling human story, but in only 6 words? 6 words, not 6 sentences. Write a compelling human story in 6 words. This is what Ernest Hemingway wrote. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. You can almost feel the pain just reading that, right? For sale, baby shoes, never worn. Let me tell you, some of you are fighting a tough battle right now. You don't even know if you can come out on the other side. Some of you are about to call it quits. That's it, you said. You know, there's no more hope for me. I can't go on like this. Let me tell you, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is here to give you comfort that you don't even know exists. All right? That you don't even know exists. So right now, wherever you are, why don't you just close your eyes as we close in prayer? I believe the Holy Spirit wants to heal you this morning. He's speaking to you. Again, you're not here by coincidence. The Holy Spirit Himself led you to this place. Maybe your reason to come here was different, but behind the scene, the Holy Spirit led you to this place because He wants to change your life. Maybe all this while you've been neglecting the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you don't even know that He's real, that He actually exists. And this morning, God is revealing to you, not only is He real, but He is here to help you. He is here to help you. And some of you here, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know that you needed a Savior. And this morning, something inside you said, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I do need a Savior in my life. Actually, I don't know where I'm going after this life is over. And this morning, let me tell you, God has prepared a place for you. Eternal life is waiting for you with your Heavenly Father. But the problem is your sin and my sin. It separates us from a holy God. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. So that if you put your faith in Him, if you believe in Him, you will not die, but you will have everlasting life. That's the promise of the Bible. So if that's you this morning, I want to lead you in this simple prayer. And if you mean what you say, let me assure you, God's promise is real. You will have eternal life with Him forever and ever. Not because you're good, not because you deserve it, but because all your sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. Past, present, and even your future sins have already been paid for. All you need to do is just believe. And God, through His Holy Spirit, will help you to walk in this journey called life. To be a better person, to be more like Him. But that's not the reason why you are accepted. You are accepted because of Jesus who's done it all for you. So if that's you, you're not a Christian and you want to be one, you want to be a follower of Christ, why don't you pray this prayer after me? Repeat after me. I want the Christians to repeat after me as well. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He died for my sins. I believe it. I have eternal life. Not because I deserve it, but Jesus gave it to me as a free gift. Help me to follow you all the days of my life with the strength from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give a round of applause for those who prayed that prayer for the very first time? It's so good. Let me tell you, that's the reason why we exist here as a church. If you pray that prayer for the first time, you know, heaven is rejoicing right now. There's a huge party going on in heaven, and we are rejoicing with you, and we want to know your decision. So if you go to therocks.info, you can click a tab that says New to Faith, and we want to help you in your new journey of faith. On your way out, the host will be holding Bibles as well. You know, you can get a free Bible on our behalf. Go to the connection desk, and you know, there's just a few things that you can do to help you in your journey of faith, and we'd love to be a part of that journey with you. All right, so one more time, can we give them a huge round of applause?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.